Every drunken skipper trusts to Providence, but one of the ways of Providence with drunken skippers is to run them on the rocks.
Very true, no doubt, at sea. But in politics, I assure you, they only run into jellyfish. Nothing happens.
At sea, nothing happens to the sea. Nothing happens to the sky. The sun comes up from the east and goes down to the west. The moon grows from a sickle to an arc lamp and comes later and later until she's lost in the light as other things are lost in the darkness. After the typhoon, the flying fish glitter in the sunshine like birds. It is amazing how they get along, all things considered. Nothing happens except something not worth mentioning.
What is that, O Captain? Oh, my Captain?
Nothing but the smash of the drunken skipper's ship on the rocks, the splintering of her rotten timbers, the tearing of her rusty plates, the drowning of the crew like rats in a trap.
Moral, don't take rum.
That is a lie, child. Let a man drink 10 barrels of rum a day. He is not a drunken skipper until he is a drifting skipper. Whilst he can lay his course and stand on his bridge and steer it, he is no drunkard. It is the man who lies drinking in his bunk and trusts to Providence that I call the drunken skipper, though he drink nothing but the waters of the River Jordan.
Splendid. And you haven't had a drop for an hour. You see, you don't need it. Your own spirit is not dead.
Echoes. Nothing but echoes. The last shot was fired years ago.
And this ship that we are all in? This soul's prison we call England?
The captain is in his bunk drinking bottled ditch water. And the crew is gambling in the forecastle. She will strike and sink and split. Do you think the laws of God will be suspended in favor of England because you were born in it?
Well, I don't mean to be drowned like a rat in a trap. I still have the will to live. What am I to do?
Do? Nothing simpler. Learn your business as an Englishman.
And what may be my business as an Englishman?
Navigation. Learn it and live, or leave it and be damned.
Quiet, quiet. You'll tire yourself.
I thought all that once, Captain, but I assure you, nothing will happen.
A dull, distant explosion is heard.
What was that? Something happening.
He blows his whistle.
Breakers ahead!
The light goes out.
Who put that light out? Who dared put that light out?
Nurse Guinness runs in from the house.
I did, sir. The police have telephoned to say we'll be summoned. If we don't put that light out, it can be seen for miles.
It shall be seen for 100 miles.
Hector dashes into the house.
The rectory is nothing but a heap of bricks, they say. Unless we can give the rector a bed, he has nowhere to lay his head this night.
The church is on the rocks, breaking up. I told him it would, unless it headed for God's open sea.
And you are all to go down to the cellars.
Go there yourself, you and all the crew. Batten down the hatches.
And hide beside the coward I married? I'll go on the roof first.
The lamp lights up again.
There! Mr. Hushabye's turned it on again.
The burglar hurries in.
Here, where's the way to that gravel pit? The boot boy says there's a cave in the gravel pit. Them cellars is no use. Where's the gravel pit, Captain?
Go straight on past the flagstaff until you fall into it and break your dirty neck.
Another and louder explosion is heard.
The burglar stops and stands trembling.
That was nearer.
The next one will get us. Stand by, all hands, for judgment.
Oh, my lordy God.
He rushes away frantically past the flagstaff into the gloom.
Mrs. Hushabye emerges from the darkness.
Who was that running away? Did you hear the explosions and the sound in the sky? It's splendid. It's like an orchestra. It's like Beethoven.
By thunder, Hesione. It is Beethoven.
She and Hesione throw themselves into one another's arms in wild excitement.
The light increases.
The light is getting brighter.
It's Mr. Hushabye turning on all the lights in the house and tearing down the curtains.
Randall rushes in his pajamas.
Distractedly waving a flute.
Ariadne, my soul, my precious, go down to the cellars. I beg and implore you, go down to the cellars.
The governor's wife in the cellars with the servants? Really, Randall?
But what shall I do if you are killed?
You will probably be killed too, Randall. Now play your flute to show that you are not afraid, and be good. Play us, Keep the Home Fires Burning.
They'll keep the home fires burning for us, them up there.
My lips are trembling. I can't get a sound.
I hope poor Mangan is safe.
He is hiding in the cave in the gravel pit.
My dynamite drew him there. It is the hand of God.
Hector returns from the house.
There is not half light enough. We should be blazing to the skies.
Set fire to the house, Marcus.
No, my house, no!
Oh, I thought of that, but it would not be ready in time.
The judgment has come. Courage will not save you, but it will show that your souls are still alive.
Shh! Listen! Do you hear it now? It's magnificent.
They all turn away from the house and look up.
Listening.
Miss Dunn, you can do no good here. We of this house are only moths flying into the candle. You had better go down to the cellar.
I don't think.
Ellie, dear, there's no disgrace in going to the cellar. An officer would order his soldiers to take cover. Mr. Hushabye is behaving like an amateur. Mangan and the burglar are acting very sensibly, and it is they who will survive.
Let them. I shall behave like an amateur. But why should you run any risk?
Well, think of the risk those poor fellows up there are running.
Think of them indeed, the murdering blackguards. What next?
A terrific explosion shakes the earth. The falling of the shattered glass from the windows.
Is anyone hurt?
Where did it fall?
Right in the gravel pit. I've seen it. Seen it, all right. I've seen it.
She runs away towards the gravel pit, laughing harshly.
One husband gone.
30 pounds of good dynamite wasted.
Oh, poor Mangan.
Are you immortal that you need pity him? Our turn next.
They wait in silence and intense expectation.
Hesione and Ellie hold each other's hand tight.
A distant explosion is heard.
Oh, they have passed us.
The danger is over, Randall. Go to bed.
Turn in, all hands. The ship is safe.
He sits down and goes to sleep.
Safe.
Yes, safe. And how damnably dull the world has become again suddenly.
I was quite wrong after all. It is we who have survived, and Mangan and the burglar...
Two burglars!
The two practical men of business.
Both gone. And the poor clergyman will have to get a new home.
But what a glorious experience! I hope they'll come again tomorrow night.
Oh, I hope so.
Randall, at last, succeeds in keeping the home fires burning on his flute.
This recording of Heartbreak House by George Bernard Shaw was read by Georgia Southern as Ellie Dunn, Charlotte Hamden as Nurse Guinness, Richard Kent Green as Captain Shotover, Lucy McMichael as Lady Utterword, Temmie Rose as Hesione Hushabye, Jerry Rogers as Mazzini Dunn, Paul Singleton as Hector Hushabye, Don Brennan as Alfred Mangan, Ross Hewitt as Randall Utterword, Matthew L. Imperato as Billy Dunn. The narrators were read by Elena Sepora and by Jason Daniel Siegel. The recording was made on the main stage of the Ensemble Studio Theater in Manhattan in July 2011.